Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to another edition of Falkirk Daft. And they were dancing in the streets of Total Network Solutions last night. Well, it was Diddy Cup anyway, isn't it? I am your host, John McInally, and as ever joined by the Ginger Corner Pod, the one-man band in the main stand, the king of the prawn sandwich, it is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yes, it was a good day up until kickoff, wasn't it?
It was indeed. I think TNS should now stand for the Total The Nothing Show, or The Nothing Show, because it was very much like that from Falkirk yesterday. We'll get into the game with our guest pundits a bit later on in the show. But we, Ross, were out on a bit of a pub crawl yesterday ahead of the game.
We did. It was a good laugh, wasn't it? It was. We had no idea whether it was just going to be the two of us or whether others would join. And at its peak, I think we had 15.
Yeah, we did. It was a fair crew with us. If you're watching the YouTube version, there's us in the Scotia. We started at the Newmarket, went to Tollbooth, Icons, Scotia, the Welly, behind the wall, down to the game. We won't mention that. Into the Brockville Bar after the game. Then we managed the Welly, the Wheat Sheaf, and then the Courtyard. And finished off in the Courtyard. And we got the t-shirt, everyone, if you're watching the YouTube version. There it is, and all it's gory, delighted with it. So we got one, they got the t-shirt at the end of the pub call. It was all about that. That was a big win for yesterday. And I've still got a completed card here. I don't know whose card this is. I believe it might be our sponsor, Peter from Haldane Construction card, because he didn't make it back up. So I said, give me your card, I'll get it stamped for you. So Peter, I have got your card and I've got it stamped for you, so I'll give it to him next time I see him, but that's him. You can wear the t-shirt with pride. And of course, Haldane Construction, we're getting a lot of chat from Peter. Peter was a celebrity in his own right yesterday, as I introduced him to everyone. This is Peter from Haldane Construction. Everyone was asking, can you do me a swimming pool? Can you do me an extension? So Peter was loving life, and he joined us on the pub crawl yesterday. It was great for him to turn up. He made a bit of a schoolboy arrow in the first pub. We're like, hey, Peter, get a shot, and then we'll just move on to the next one. And he got our pint. But it was all good, and we had a great time out with Peter and the troops yesterday. And of course, Haldane Construction, as I said, they will sort out any construction project you're looking for. They've been the central delt for over two decades, the best extension, new builds, all the way through to care homes. They've got skills and professional approach to undertake a vast range of projects. They're at the customers at the heart of everything they do, and they'll take a collaborative approach to design, budget, and the management of projects. If you've got something you need done and you're thinking, I need someone that's an expert in construction, Peter's your man. Quality and loyalty is the heart of Haldane Construction, and they will sort you out with anything you're thinking about doing. Get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook, or you can drop them an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. And as I say, just mention Falkirk Daft, and you might get a wee cheeky discount from Peter, just saying. And if he does give you, a discount, let us know, because he's still got his past this t-shirt to pick up as well. So
I said to him yesterday, John, I don't know what pub we were in, maybe it was maybe the Welly, and so we're a few in by this point, and I said to him, listen, is the sponsorship working out for you, you get loads of business? And he was like, yeah, no, loads of people are talking about it, loads of people mention it. And I was like, excellent,
fantastic.
that's what it's all about.
Exactly. that's what we're here for. Sad day in the McInally household, actually, Ross. The goldfish passed away. I should be wearing a black armband today. Goldfish passed away. 7 years, the longest surviving goldfish in Falkirk. There is no goldfish that has lasted longer than this goldfish. So poor Daisy, has been away to up what Rainbow Roads for dogs. So the golden flush is for goldfish. So
did you give us a proper send off?
Yeah, the golden flush, yes. But no, do you know what I heard actually, and this is interesting, that if you work at Timpsons, now someone can confirm or deny if you work at Timpsons, that you get a day off when your pet passes away. But my big question is, does a goldfish qualify?
Well, listen, every pet's a member of the family, innit? So, is it just Timpsons that do that?
I believe so. I don't know if any other businesses, if you have a cat or a dog passed away, maybe your work will give you the day off. But yeah, Timpsons, apparently it's part of their thing. Another thing about Timpsons is they employ a lot of ex-cons as well, which I find really interesting.
Where's this Timpsons?
Timpsons knowledge, mate. They do. If you look up, Timpsons employ a lot of ex-con. They also do a lot of good things. Like they'll sort out your job interview. If you're going for a job interview, they'll do like your suits
I'd heard that actually. They'll do things to help people kind of get back into
work and stuff like that. And so shout out to Timpsons. But I don't know, the employee ex-cons. I would suggest someone that produces keys for houses is probably not the best place for an ex-con to be working. Just, I don't know. But anyway, lots of Timpsons knowledge. And if you do work at Timpsons, please confirm or deny that you get a day off for a pet passing away. And does that include goldfish? There we go.
So see at Timpsons, which obviously they specialise in footwear repairs. Yeah. So is customer service at the heart and soul?
There we are. Listen. They should have you on the advertising campaign. Let's get into some club news. Liam Henderson, Big Hendo, signed an extension this week. Delighted with that, Ross.
Yeah, me too. Massive player for us this year and last year, actually. He was a big player last year. Made the position his own. He's obviously under a wee bit of pressure now with Dylan Tate signing, because I'd imagine he's going to be clipping his heels, but Big Hendo brings an awful lot to the team, both defensively and...
It's his physicality as much as anything. You know, he's obviously popped up a good few goals this season as well, just arriving late in the box with headers and what have you. But yeah, he was obviously originally kind of, I guess, signed as a centre-half, but that physicality and that height in midfield, he's made that role his own. We're a poorer team when Hendo isn't playing.
I would say so, yeah. He's... huge player. As you said, he's popped up with a number of goals now this season. I think yesterday was the first time he's not scored in the last month, innit? He's been scoring almost a week. So hopefully he gets back on the score sheet against Accies in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, let's hope so. So, and, you know, another sign out of nowhere was the sign of young Keelan Adams from Cumbernauld Colts. We want them back there for the rest of the season. That kind of came out of nowhere. I hadn't heard anything about that, but it's good to see business like that getting done.
It is. I was really interested to hear John McGlynn's comments on it, and he said that they've been tracking him for months and months. They were alerted to him, I think, last summer, he said. And not only that, but they've had him in during January. Like, I don't know if it was full-time training or he was in a few different sessions, but he's obviously been in and amongst the club. So not only the players, the coaching staff's had a huge look at him as well. So I'm saying one for the future. He's 22, so it's not as if he's like 16, 17-year-old. I assume when he comes in the summer, he will be one of two fullbacks. So he's going to be fighting to make the jersey his own. But the little bit of information I saw online is he's getting a real good write-up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a market that probably gets talked up enough. I know there was a standing joke for years at Falkirk AGMs where people would say, why is Peter Houston or Paul Hartley or Ray McKinnon, why are they not scouting the juniors? But do you know what? You do get the odd gem that comes through.
The boy that's just went from Albion Rovers to Burnley, a junior transfer window as well. And it's maybe an example of the football pyramid system working, that, you know, we're looking into the Lowland Leagues, you know, I guess clubs like Inverness and Cali are looking at the Highland Leagues and using that, you know, league and looking at the players in there and saying, well, they could do a job at a higher level, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So it sounds like he's got a really good bit about him. Tall lad, another tall player coming into the squad in the summer as well.
Yeah, no, I think obviously next season he'll be brought in, I guess, as cover if Finn Yeats retains right back, or maybe he's been brought in with a view of moving Finn into the middle of the park. I guess I'll just be waiting to see. We don't know a lot about him. If you do know a bit about him, please let us know, because I'd love to hear your kind of write up on Keelan Adams when he breaks in. Cold match has been rearranged. Obviously, they went through in the Scottish Cup against Broader Rangers. I think they play Kilmarnock now. So that game is now going to take place on Tuesday, the 5th of March. It was originally meant to be next weekend up there. Tough place to go in the middle of the week, isn't it? It's one of these potential banana skins, the Cove away match.
It is, but probably more in our heads than on paper, because obviously we are 22 points in front of them. So, like, I've not got any fear from a, are they going to catch us type thing.
No, but there's no fear of that, but it's, you know, it's
still effect there, isn't it? Like, as in, he'll have them, although he didn't in January, he didn't have them well drilled or up for the game at all, but yeah, listen, it's never we drew up there in August, so we know it's a tough place to go. Midweek going all that way, not ideal, but listen, as always, there'll be a decent Falkirk crowd heading up that night. It's just before I think we play Stirling Albion, so there'll be an awful lot of Bairns fans sort of heading up to earmarking Stirling Albion on the Saturday after. But yeah, I think there'll be a reasonable crowd going up. And who knows what will happen between now and then. That could be a game that, it will be a game in hand, won't it? Because by that point, Aki's will have caught up with us again in terms of matches played. So, interesting number of weeks coming up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if the time that game comes around, we could potentially, if we're, you know, we'll talk about the Aki's game, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we could be, you know, depending on how things go over the next couple of weeks, you know, we could be a fair distance in front of them by that point, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed, that is exactly what it is. We want to have maintain the gap that we've got just now, if not better it. Aki's, well, I know we're not going to preview Aki's now, but Aki's will be obviously playing next weekend. I think they're at home to Annan, so they're probably looking at that as 3 points in the bag. If that is the case, they'll then come to our place in a fortnight's time on a 5-point gap potentially. They'll be looking to make that too. So a really interesting couple of weeks coming up. It's exciting, but we know what we're all about. We know what we can do as well.
Yeah, it's nail biting as well, especially, you know, we've been a wee bit patchy recently in the cup games, certainly. But hopefully we bring it back in the week. Anyway, we're not going to preview the Aki's game on this podcast. We're hoping to do a special podcast just ahead of the game to see where the cards are lying. We couldn't speak to the boys at Only Aki's, couldn't make tonight, so hopefully we'll be able to get them involved if we've not upset them too much, and they'll come on. We can hopefully preview the game with the boys over at Only Aki's. That would be good to do. It was a Falkirk Foundation end of year report on the fund then, and Derek got and reached out to us, and none of us could make the meeting, unfortunately, but he sent through everything that got discussed. Great news. I mean, they've got 420,000 towards 720,000, Ross.
As well as their end of year report that Derek shared with us, which had an awful lot of amazing numbers in it, not just football related. Obviously, the Falkirk Foundation's a huge charity side of the club. They do an awful lot of men's and women's mental health. There's various programs in there as well from a football perspective. Like, I think the stat was like 1,400 kids and people, a week play under the foundation banner, which is massive. So they're just doing an amazing job with every sort of program that they're running. However, the big story as well, and from their press release, was that, they've been given a £420,000 cash sum towards a project which is going to build a community hub beside the pitch, the community pitch at the stadium. So I believe, I did message Derek, I don't think there's any sort of plans that we can share or that they've been able to share just yet, but they will do that when they can. It's not going to impact, from what I know, any of the space from a club perspective. So, like, if we ever do want to put a stand in place or a terrace or whatever, that's not going to be affected. But it is going to be beside the community hub.
Right.
Sorry, beside the community pitch, which means they'll have changing rooms, there'll be meeting rooms, there'll be toilet facilities. That, you know, it sounds basic, but just now all they have is like a couple of portaloos beside the pitch, and you just think, listen, it's such a brilliantly used facility that it makes sense that they've now got something that's gonna go hand in hand with the pitch, but also facilities that the people in the community deserve to go along with it as well.
Yeah, the headline figures from the report: 3,901 unique participants, 294,000 participant hours, 27,600 volunteers. It's incredible. 594 SQA qualifications provided by the foundation. Brilliant numbers, like you say, Ross. And you know that it's a really important part of the football club, you know, and fair play to Derek and all the guys that, you know, give their time and work with the foundation. Actually, on that, you've got a child with additional support needs. The club actually run football classes. Our friend Fraser got in touch with us and said there's a chance it might get cancelled. They run a class for kids with, you know, ASN. And they're looking to try and boost the numbers there. So if you've got a younger bairn who you want to get involved in football and just maybe needs that bit of extra support, the foundation runs stuff like that. So look out for the details on that. We're going to get all the details from Fraser on that. And if you want, just DM us. We'll provide all the details. Because, I mean, it'd be a sad, you know, we know Fraser's little boy, Finlay, who comes to the football with us, and it's something he loves going to. He loves doing, and you know, it'd be sad to see that go. So if you are thinking, you know, you'd like to get your kid involved, there's an option there for you. So if you want to DM us with the details, we'll get them from Fraser and let you know all the details, and we'll hopefully have more details on the next couple of podcasts on that as well. Right, okay. Oh God, I'm trying to put off talking about the football, but I guess we kind of have to. It's a bit different. So we've got a few guest pundits on, and they are Ian Mitchell, Alistair Wilson, and Mark Traynor, all from the Falkirk Football Fans in Training Programme.
How are you, gents?
Hey.
How are you doing, guys?
Hi guys. Yous are all looking fit, and this is all due to the Falkirk fans in training, I'm guessing. Before we get into the game, because we just keep putting it off until we talk about the game. Do you want to tell us a wee bit about the Falkirk fans in training, Mark?
Yeah, sure. It's a program that has been going on at Falkirk certainly for 10-12 years. It's SPFL or SPL sponsored, and it's basically where fans of clubs can get involved in getting a bit fitter. And latterly, we've really started to see the mental health benefits.
Yeah,
for a lot of the guys that come down. So, we as a committee are just trying to boost numbers, just trying to be there for as many guys as we can, get as many guys playing football. I never have dreamed that I'd be still playing football at my young age of 32. But it's fabulous. It's such a good bunch of guys, and we're just there for each other.
Yeah.
Support each other, got each other's backs.
Alistair, how many people are involved in it now?
Oof, on a Monday night, it's 8 o'clock till 9, there's 16 involved plus. There's usually a waiting list on Tuesday night. There's 32 in a waiting list to get on. It's just evolving, it's getting bigger, and more people are joining by the week. And there's currently another bunch of guys just started doing the fit program at the club in the last week, so we're expecting more to add to the group in the coming weeks.
Right. And Ian, what does it entail then when you come down to the train? What sort of stuff do you guys get up to?
It's basically eight-a-side games that we run on a Monday. One game on a Monday night, two games on a Tuesday night at the stadium. Smartsville was born out of the fit program. Probably nine, certainly from Falkirk, nine years ago. It went from 6-7 people on a Monday night up to there's a membership of 119 now in total.
Oh wow, amazing!
So yeah, it's the ASI football on a Monday and Tuesday night. There's also played friendlies against other like-minded fit teams from across the country. There's an 11 team spawned out of the fit setup as well, who play in the Warriors Premier League as well.
Brilliant. And you get Mark, you're involved in the something called the Lava Cup. Do you want to talk us through what that is?
Yeah, so the Lava Cup is something that kind of started last couple of years, the guy that's really kind of the ringleader has connections with Icelandic FA,
right?
So he initially had kind of started up a tournament between some Scottish clubs and Icelandic clubs. This year, we're hosting the tournament at the Falkirk Stadium in May, and we've got clubs from all over Europe coming. Germany, I think Eintracht Frankfurt coming from Germany.
Yeah.
Clubs from Portugal, Netherlands, Iceland, obviously, and a number from Scotland, England. It'd just be fabulous. And it's all guys like us that just want to go out, have a bit of fun, play a bit of football. It's a fabulous idea.
Brilliant. And what's the dates of the competition?
The 25th of May. Saturday the 25th of May. Starts at 12 and runs through till about 5.
Brilliant.
And it's a charity event as well, so the any proceeds raised in the day are going between Strathcarn Hospice and Falkirk District Mental Health.
Fantastic.
And you seem to, I mean, you guys are no strangers to hospitality. I think you're in hospitality more than Ross, actually. And that is saying something. But there seems to be a great camaraderie and a really nice group that you guys have. Is that a really important part of it as well?
100%. Without a doubt, as I said, we're there for each other. Everybody that's involved has everybody else's back. We have a laugh, but we're there to support each other if things are tough.
Good.
Magic.
Love it.
Superb. And he's also sponsoring Mr. McGlynn's hat.
We sponsored the whole backroom staff's kit. Including Mr. McGlynn's hat.
That's why he wears the cap at an angle, guys.
We need to get him to turn his head a wee bit more. Just to...
We just sort of try to be cool and street cred, but it's actually to get your guys' logo, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I keep saying, just waiting for him to put it on backwards one day. That'll make it.
John, do we try and get the guys to get the logo onto Alistair's bucket hat? See if we can get them wearing that again.
Absolutely. We should do that. Maybe in the summer, if we win the league, we can get Mr. McGlynn wearing a bucket hat rather than
plan. Brilliant. Absolutely.
Let's get it sorted. Right, okay, we'll talk about it now. All right, they were dancing in the streets of Total Network Solutions after a 1-0 win at the Falkirk Stadium last night. Semi-finals of the Trust Trophy. One change from the game against Awa last weekend with Miles Hogarth. Miles Hogarth, keep saying Miles Hogarth. With Nicky Hogarth. Nicky coming in for Sam Long in the sticks. And as I said, it very much at the top of the show, it was very much TNS stand for the Nothing Show from Falkirk, because it really, we didn't show up, did we, boys?
No. The intensity of the previous week just wasn't there. And even the Bonnie game, there was a bit of fight, but we just didn't seem to have the desire. It was all very slow. And disappointing.
Yeah, Alistair, what do you put that down to?
I think they've just done their homework, really. They came with a game plan, they executed it well. Like we said, I don't think we turned up. Basically, we never expressed ourselves, we never really got out of first gear, really. never really created much, and they nullified all the threats.
Yeah, Ian, what did you make of this the kind of standard of TSA? We obviously went into this game, and we talked about it on last week's show. We didn't know much about this team. Were you impressed by them?
No, they didn't look. It didn't look special, to be honest. I think we made them look better than they actually are. But I think as I also said, they seem to have their game plan and stick to it. And once they got that first goal, then all they'd done was just try and cancel the game out.
Yeah.
They done it well, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, 3,500 turned out for the game. Obviously, the game was on telly, so that was a good game for a Saturday night. I thought that's actually a decent crowd, especially telly. Yeah. And it wasn't a great night. And obviously, we had the Ladies' Day going on in the hospitality. Did you, any of you boys, try and sneak into that?
We managed in very briefly before we woke up back out again. we went bearing gifts. Oh, two bottles of wine with us.
Well played. That's a man with a plan right there. But yeah, Ross, I mean, we obviously had a few by this time, and we got into the game, and it, like, you know, Ian was saying, it was two sides. I almost felt a wee bit like that Hamilton game that we played. It was almost two sides cancelling each other out, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with the boys. I think they definitely did their homework. I had watched the pre-match press conference with their manager, and he was very complimentary, but he knew on it. He was like Morrison, he mentioned Miller, he mentioned the two centre halves, and they did cancel us out. I actually thought we were quite bright for the first sort of 10-15 minutes, not to the usual intensity that we normally are. But I think we never, like, our big players just didn't have a good night. They really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought Calvin Miller was way off, and I thought Brad Spencer did not get a foot in the game at all.
I think they kind of nullified these guys. They were on them. They were closing us down really quick. And the guys, even Nezzy as well yesterday, he wasn't quite at it the way he has been, you know. Loose passes, just a bit frustrating. It was just a bit flat,
really slack at points as well, wasn't
it?
Slow as well, very slow. The play was slow. We didn't get up and at them, cause them any great hassle, really.
No, I mean, I don't know if that was more, was that a Falkirk problem, or was that just TNS cancelling us out?
Possibly, yeah, very possibly. It was, their tactics working rather well, to be honest.
Yeah, I was really impressed by the goalkeeper, actually. He had one good save. He had a good save from Morrison early on, which could have took us 1-0. And his distribution, I thought, was excellent. My mate was there, and he's a Celtic supporter. He says, this is the kind of players that you should be looking at, a player like that, you know, like a goalkeeper like that. Because his distribution from
his feet, absolutely.
It was unbelievable,
yeah.
They got the goal. Talking about goalkeepers, we brought Nicky in. He didn't have a hell of a lot to do. He had one wee save early on, and then the goal came. Mr. Lang, obviously, biggest fan, but what was he doing? What was Tam doing, boys? Can anyone talk me through that?
Well, I'm not sure he knows himself what he was last night. It was so...
It's a terrible goal, you can see. Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely, so unlikely.
He just...
For Nicky, to be honest, because he first two stops were first class. Absolutely first class. They just...
Yeah,
you can't blame him for that at all. But yeah, the kind of lead up to that was challenge.
Yeah, it was weird because like Tam Lang's normally, it's not like he's a bad footballer, but his first thought normally is just to like clear his lines.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, he just thought, I'm gonna. Do you remember the film Mean Machine, like years ago?
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, there was like the goalkeeper was like Mad Monk or whatever his name was, and he just had these mad moments where he's going to take on the full team, and then it was like, so he just decided to do that for 10 seconds and he gave the ball away. And then, as you said, a couple of brilliant saves from Hogarth. And I was really disappointed, actually, in Lang having a go at what looked like he was having a go at Hogarth. I'm not really sure why he was having a go at him, because he was not the instigator of this situation.
No, there was nothing Nicky could do beyond what he did. I mean, he got two good hands on it. Maybe could he have got around the post or just the other way? I don't know. I don't think he could.
Yeah, I mean, that was the second save as well. Yeah. The first one, the second one then came back and he was up so quick to get
I think Tam's just looking to, I think he was obviously angry at himself and just looking to lash out at someone, because he'll be very disappointed when he sees that back in Celtic when John McGuinn. I don't think he'll be too happy when he sees that back. I mean, we had an immediate chance right after it as well when Morrison kind of skipped it into the box and a good save from the goalkeeper at their end. I was really impressed by him. We should maybe have a look.
Absolutely.
Then it was into the second half, and I just felt like a bit of a nothing game. It was really flat. I don't know what it was. Was it the conditions? Was it a Saturday night late on that was affecting it? But I just felt really, really flat, like you say, Mark.
I just wonder whether, at the moment they've got such a motivation in the league. I just don't know whether that determination, motivation wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
You know, expecting them to come
in. I know it's a cup semi-final.
But it never materialised across that second half whatsoever.
Yeah, Ross, there didn't seem to be the intensity in the press that we normally have. And, and that all comes... I think the midfield was, I don't know if it was nullified or what was going on, but I thought Nesbitt and Spencer's influence on the game, which is usually a really strong point for us, just wasn't there.
No, it wasn't there. Miller was really quiet. At first, I was kind of shocked that he was being subbed, because he is a very creative player, but actually, he did nothing to merit staying on. Not that the subs really made any difference. I agree with you guys. I think, I don't know whether it was maybe, was it the Saturday night thing? Like, I know from a fan's perspective, it's weird playing on a Saturday night, but the players probably get themselves into routines on a weekly basis as well. And it's not to excuse the fact that it was really flat for that reason, but something was off. And it just... it spilled into the crowd a wee bit as well. A bit of frustration coming in as well. These misplaced passes and, not great.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of headers, chances from Kivar, from Henderson, from Tam as well, who maybe would look back at that and think, I could have maybe got that on target. There was nothing really to write home with. Morrison had a shot, which I was like, oh, that would be a cracker if it went, but it was just wide as well.
I think it was close.
We were right behind it, and it was close, but it was just like... I don't know. It was just when you saw what happened at Iowa last week and we're outstanding, obviously missing a few players through them being cup tied. But Ross, do you think he went too late with the subs or?
I don't know if it was the wrong time, but I was just really disappointed with the subs. Like Agyeman came on and. Like, I know he's a bit of a maverick. You don't know whether he's going to be great or not. And he wasn't great when he came on. But I expected a bit more from him. Oliver barely touched the ball from memory. Shanley, who has done really well so far, didn't really do much when he came on. I just think they did their homework. They saw the game out. They were really, really streetwise in everything that they did. I don't think they're that great a team.
Exactly. Without being brilliant.
Yeah. They didn't have to be. They just they're not, like, are they better than Dundee United? I wouldn't have thought so. And we saw them. Ian, I don't know about you. I was just really disappointed. I was more disappointed than anything else at the end of the game.
I think, as I said, they weren't a great team, but I think they certainly done their homework, and they did take care of more creative players out of the game. As you said, Miller never done anything. He never got a chance to do anything in this, but Morrison had a wee bit more freedom for spells. But
I thought Morrison and Hogarth were the only ones that got gas marks for me.
Yeah, I'm going to give Leon McCann a pass mark as well. I thought he put in a decent shift. Cole Donaldson didn't do too much wrong, but yeah, it was...
Finn was good. Finn played well up the right-hand side.
Did
but...
Finn get subbed? Did anybody notice? Did he get injured or something? Or...
I think he took a bad tackle, I think. I think he clattered one of their guys and he came second best there.
Yeah. Right, because we hadn't seen anything and it was a weird sub at that time. Yeah, like you would bring on a right
absolutely
a minute in injury time, but yeah, no fair play if he's took a knock. I thought that was a bit odd.
Yeah. Right, let's see what Mr. McGonn had to say after the game.
John, a tough one to take today. What's your feelings on the match?
Yeah, I felt we did well actually. I don't think we deserved to lose the game. The game is won on very, very fine margins, you know. I thought the opening 12 minutes it was all us. We started the game really well. We took the game to the New Saints. We created some, you know, half chances. It was half chances throughout the whole game. There was no even the New Saints didn't create any real chances. There wasn't a lot of chances. Very fine margins. The guys put everything into it. We put a lot into that game. It was a hard game. The New Saints are a good side. You know, they're a very good side. And we acquitted ourselves very well. But it was just half chances all you know over the place. Immediately after they scored. Callum's unfortunate that he doesn't score. You know, the goalie makes a really, really good save from him. And we had other opportunities. Tom had a header in the second half. Callum's had a great shot. He's just narrowly passed. Tom had another header at the back post when we walked the corner kick. And then even Liam Henderson's had a chance with a header. They're all like half chances, you know. But no 40 chances kicking about. Both defences did well. But, you know, unfortunately they managed to take one of their opportunities that came along in the first half. And then They've defended quite well, but they say I don't feel we deserve to lose the game. I didn't, you know. They say they're a quality team. I thought we acquitted ourselves really, really well. The stats will show that we had more shots than them, from more corner kicks. You know, it was just a game where it was a very, very, you know, fine margin. You know, we make an error, they cash in on it. It's a bit, you know. Golan to that extent, you know, that that's kind of knocked us out, but we're not going to dwell on that. You know, the league has always been the priority. We wanted to get to a cup final. We'll put everything into it. It's not to be. So now we know we've got 14 league games, and because now, you know, we're not in a final, it's another game that doesn't happen to get reorganised. So we have only two midweek games. There'll only be 2 weeks now between now and the end of the season where we've got to go Saturday, Tuesday. So, and most of the teams are having to do that anyway. So, it's a level playing field between now and the end of the season. 14 games, we know exactly what we've got to do. There's no distractions. Everything is focused on winning the league.
Well, that's one of the benefits, I guess, that, you know, let's paint it out. It is all about the league this season. The Cup would have been nice. It'd been a good day out, you know, especially... We wanted to get to Airdrie. We wanted to do, you know, we owed Airdrie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would have been great. But listen, if come June and we're in the Championship, who cares?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
110%.
He's right. It is the priority, isn't it? It's what he needs. It's what the club needs. And yeah, it's a tournament we've done well in, and it's probably, and we'll all know from the finals that we've been in, they've been enjoyable days. We've never got to the final and lost, which is probably helping as well. But I don't know who I'd want to win that final now, to be honest. Like, I know I shouldn't really care, but I can't be bothered with Airdrie. But also, I don't like I wouldn't like a non-Scottish team to win a Scottish competition. It just feels a bit
agreed, weird. Yeah. Agreed, yeah.
I have to.
By all accounts, they're playing at Coup Park just because of the number of fans they're expecting.
No, I do believe though the final will be held at the Falkirk Stadium. Now that I believe when, because obviously it was last year it was there, and I believe it's a 2-year deal. So now that we're not in the final, I do believe the final will be held at the Falkirk Stadium. So unless So the Airdrie supporters will be ripping up the seats there. So I guess it's revenue for the club. Obviously not as good as probably winning the thing, but hey ho, we go again. And like you say, that's 2 weeks now to our next league match, and it's the most important match of the season. We'll see what happens with Hamilton Annan. I really hoped yesterday, I really had a feeling yesterday we got drop points, but it wasn't to be. And all kind of got very lucky with the first goal. I think the second goal was it was fine, but
The pep talk with Marvin Bartley obviously failed.
I spoke to him. I spoke to him. Right, Marvin, you've got to do me a favor here on Saturday. I'll do it for you. And then no, it didn't happen, unfortunately. So I'll be having words when I see him next. But yeah, let's see what you guys all thought about it. Graham kicks us off by saying we gave it away. Thought they looked the better team, but we literally gave the game away. Disappointing.
Yeah, Hendo, not Liam Henderson, another Hendo, says we lacked any threat in the final third and never looked like scoring. Our priority for next season must be signing a centre forward, but for now, our full focus is winning the league and getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, Ross has been. It's a very good point. I think Ross has been a wee bit off it the last wee while, actually. I wonder if he will look at maybe starting Shanley against Hamilton. Maybe not, but because obviously we know what Ross can offer. We'll
I don't
see.
know. I can't see him changing it, to be honest.
But then, like McKeever, he almost kind of ruffles up the defense, and then if Shanley's got a bit more pace than Ross McKeever, so maybe it's a good tactic. Listen, Hamilton will come, and it'll be interesting because they're not going to be able to come and defend like they did in October. And they're always brilliant for them in October, but they need to win at our place. And if they come out and attack, they'll create space, which I think we'll take advantage of. But it'll
It's
be
going to be a
interesting.
cracker there again.
I think so. I think this will be better than the October one anyway. And I would take the same result as the one in December.
Absolutely. I'd take a point.
Absolutely. GB says, I thought they were the equivalent of a well-polished championship side, but were no better than us. They capitalized on our mistake, and we didn't take any of our chances. Their keeper was solid and made the difference.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Craig says probably the best passing team we've come across this season. They kept the ball really well, and a few of their players are probably decent championship standard. It shows us how far we still have to go, but the goal was a gift. A few players were off the pace as well, 100% they were.
I mean, we again, it's hard to judge the Welsh Premier League and how good it is. I mean, the fact Declan Maris came off the bench for them maybe shows the. I mean, he scored 29 goals for them this season, and apparently he's on a lot more money than he was when he was with us. So, James says, I think on another day, we could have put a few past them. Stats don't show it, but felt like we were dominated possession, but nothing with it. Disappointing not to make the final, but we have bigger things to focus on. Congratulations to TNS. I'll be cheering them on in the final.
I didn't see the stats. Did we have more possession
I
than them?
don't think we did. No, I don't think we did.
We did have more chances, and fair play to Folkert TV for putting a like a highlights package together because at the end of the game, I did struggle to think of too many chances, but we did create a few. But yeah, possession wise, it couldn't have been much in our favour. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. I don't know if you're quickly googling it, John, but yeah, we'll need to see if that is the case.
I'll check when you read up the next one.
No worries. Another John says disappointing performance. They're a decent side, but we never laid a glove on them. TNS keeper's distribution was top notch. Really lacked in the final third, and their defence dominated. Could have been different if Calum had scored straight after their goal. 14 huge games now.
Yeah, actually, the possession they had 53% of the possession to us or 47. There you go.
Yeah,
And
yeah,
yeah,
tight.
yeah. They had four shots on target as well. And you said, I remember Nicky having make one save. And then does the two shots for the goal count as two
I
shots? I
think
guess it does.
those two shots at the goal would count as a shot on
Yeah,
target, wouldn't
it must do. It must do. So there you go. Right, okay. John says disappointing for performance. They're a decent side, but
We've
never.
done
We've done that one, Ek, with chances, but never took them. Thought TNS remind me of Conor's Key game in 2018. Oh God, that was a horrible game. Or an Airdrie team of old. The referee was one of the worst yet, but at the same time, don't think anyone had a standout performance for us. The referee, I was all right. I didn't think he was particularly bad. I thought there was a couple of decisions.
We've had worse.
Yeah, I've had well worse. We've had worse,
but I thought he was quite lenient. Like, there was a few fouls that I thought, well, why not bringing a card out here for both teams? But yeah, we have had worse, haven't we? Yeah. And finally, Dave says, well-drilled opposition, however, not worthy of a win through their own making. They created zero efforts during the game. Tom Lang, outstanding all season. Sadly, after winning the ball, he turned into Messi when Peter Kay from the Avit advert would have been far better. Could have been.
Aye, absolutely, absolutely. We've got to mention as well the crowd trouble after the match as well. Come on, boys. I don't know. I don't think we were speaking to the boys from the ultras in the pub afterwards, and I don't think they were heavily. I did see a few ultras scarf involved, but I mean, come on, throwing fences over and throwing wheelies about for.
I just seen them that today. And I was getting told that there was St Mirren casuals or something at Paisley through, and Sheffield United as well. Seemingly we've got an affiliation with them as well, allegedly.
I mean, come on! It's the boys have come up for all the way for Wales. Do you know what I mean? And fair play to them, and they've got this bunch of I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, I'm pretty sure the ultras, you know, they had the wee sticker thing, which I thought was quite funny on the Friday, because that was a schoolboy error putting. They're obviously in Shire, so they're away doing the stickers. That's funny games, right? But you know, I'm pretty sure the boys will be trying to police that the best as they can, because you know they're affiliated with the club. The club have given them and worked alongside the ultras to create atmosphere. And like we've always said in this podcast, they're doing such a brilliant job. But we don't need that in 2024. You know what I mean? And it just, you know what, be police. You know, going forward, there'll be more police out. They'll see that and they'll go, right, we're going to send more police down to the games. And it just, you know,
that's a bigger cost to the club as well. So.
Exactly, you know, so not brilliant.
John, I think you're right. The guys do tend to police it quite well within themselves. Yeah. Like, if we think back to the Athens home game in October, I remember speaking to one of the guys in the ultras, and they said the person who had thrown the firework, they didn't know the person was going to do that. And not only did they have words with him, he said, listen, we can't have that at our place. And it's not to say it's right away from home, but they've obviously got, as you said, they've got an agreement with the club that they're not going to take things too far. So, listen, I'm sure there'll be some sort of investigation into what happened. And I don't know, it's something maybe kicked it off. Like, we can only surmise because we don't know what's kicked off. There could have been something before the game happened, or I don't know, but we just need to let it kind of run its course. But yeah, you're right. We don't need the bad.
Don't need any of that. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, we're sitting here as, you know, five middle-aged men talking about it, but like, do you know what I mean? There's no need for it. There's absolutely no need. It doesn't add to the atmosphere. It doesn't add to the game. And it's certainly, you know, something that Falkirk want to avoid.
The ultras have been fantastic all season.
Oh, and
they bring the atmosphere to the stadium.
They do.
They have behaved. I mean, the over the course of the season, particularly at home, it's like they've taken on the responsibility that the club's given them, and they're running with it, and they are. It's a godsend, because we've not had that at Westfield since we moved there. The atmosphere's different class.
Absolutely. So I'm sure they're all over it. The boys, you know, we know the boys that are involved. I'm pretty sure they'll be sorting that out from the inside. So hopefully that we don't see any more of that. That'd be great. Right, okay, it comes to it now then. This is going to be a hard choice to start with. We're going to go to Falkirk Daft rated player, Ross Wayne.
Between Morrison and Hogarth, to be honest, I'm going to go with Morrison, because he did everything he could to try and put the ball in the net. He was our most creative player on the night, even with them doubling up on him quite a few times. I'm going to go Cal. I'll go Cal.
Ian?
I'm going to go Hogarth, just because it's his first time back between the sticks for a while, and he never really done anything wrong either. His double save was excellent.
Mark.
I'm with Rod, to be honest. I thought Callum was the one guy that in the outfield that really looked up for it. Really looked up for it and was eager to get the ball and was eager to run. And, for me, he was a playmaker. That
yeah. Alistair?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Callum Wilson as well. Just his effort, his skill, he was head and shoulders, I thought, above the rest.
Yeah.
Because he's a threat, he's just a threat. But as you say, they double teamed on him, but he still managed to create some stuff. You could see he was frustrated.
Mm.
Yeah. Then,
but yeah, all in all, he deserved to be.
What are you thinking, John?
I think I'm going to have to go. Sorry, I'm going to have to go with the ball. I'm going to go Callum Morrison as well. I mean, obviously, there was talk, you know, in the last week that Linfield would, you know, were interesting. There was a bit of a worry that, you know, the Cobb might take a wee bit of some from. But I think you can see the importance of Callum Morrison, certainly in that game. And the fact they're doubling up on him, he could be the big difference maker. Him and Calvin Miller, you know, Calvin, as we talked about, bit out of form yesterday, but they could be the difference makers in taking us into the championship. And if Callum goes at the end of the season, listen, he'll go with my best wishes as long as he doesn't join Dunfermline. he's given us a good 4 years, and you can tell he's a cut above, you know, the level he's playing at, you know. So if he does go to Linfield or whatever, I suspect he might move down south, or, you know, end up at a Motherwell or someone like that, you know. So all the best to him. But yeah, Cal Morrison for me was the fuck of that.
Callum, the man of the match from the club yesterday. Finn did he?
Fair enough. Finn, I mean, like I say, I thought the fullbacks did well. The call was okay yesterday as well. I think the midfield was MIA, and I think, you know, as we've discussed, Calvin Miller and McKeever are a bit off it as well. Right then, Falkirk Dafty. Right, Ross. Don't say it.
I'm going to pick a player. I don't think it's anybody else. I'm going to pick a player. It has to be Tam, unfortunately, John. I'm sorry.
It's all my worst dreams. I know. Right, Ian.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's going to have to be Tam.
I mean, it was Ladies' Day as well, and Tam had a nightmare. Come on. I mean, right, Mark.
Difficult not to go with Tam, to be honest.
No.
It's twice. Twice he's had cock-ups, and beyond that, he's been different
game,
class, and we've lost both games 1-0.
Yeah, Alistair.
It's got to be Tom, but he's a great player. I mean, a great signing we've had, and he's brought the best out of Cole Donaldson as well. And they're a rock at the back, but it's just unfortunate. Fred, as Marcus says, he's had two errors in the season. We'll let him away with that.
Yeah, I can't look beyond them. I feel terrible. I feel like I'm turning up to my wife to say that I'm cheating on her or something like that. But Tam, my man, it's going to have to be you for the Falkirk Dafty. It's like the traitors, it's exactly that, Mark. Oh, I feel awful. I feel awful. The words have just left my mouth. But Tam Lang, oh my God, he's a Falkirk Dafty.
You can still kiss his poster in your bedroom before he goes.
I still love you though, Tam. I still love you. Right, so that's our Falkirk Dafty of the week. Listen, boys, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Best of luck. If you want any more details on the football fans and training, who should they speak to?
Ian's your man, really.
Yep. Ian's the main man. This is a man
Ian
that's got
probably.
Right. Ian's the man that runs the committee. Right. He's like you can just tell from you know on the Zoom just now. You can just tell he's the main man. He's got all the notes. Ian, how do we get in touch with you then, sir?
Yeah, just through Facebook or Messenger, or we've got our Falkirk Fit Facebook page as well.
There you go.
We'll tag that in as well. We'll tag that in.
So if you want to get involved, Mondays, Tuesdays, boys, isn't it? So
yeah,
get Monday down. You did I hear you saying there's a waiting list for it?
No, the game clamps. We put posts up on a Wednesday just asking for names for each of the game slots. And yeah, latterly we've had some reserves for both Monday and Tuesday night.
Is there a minimum age requirement? You mean Ross sneak in there?
I think you're just about to make the cut, yeah.
Excellent.
Well, if Mark's 32, we should be.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll maybe try and make it. We'll try and get you in for a game. Maybe we could make. We get a Falkirk Daft select against you boys.
Oh, would it be fabulous?
You're talking.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a challenge to me. So we'll get that laid down. We'll get a wee game with you. That'd be good. Ross will pull on the boots once more.
Many times, mate, many times.
Absolutely.
John and I have got a running joke because years ago, boys, we had left school and everything, but our two groups of pals, because John went to Larbert High, I was a Falkirk High boy, and the two sort of groups of pals played each other at the stadium, actually. This was before Astro as well. Remember at the end of the season, the club used to let you hire out the main pitch?
Yeah.
And like it was properly done, like there was an SFA ref and all this kind of stuff. And the highlights from this game are still kicking about on a DVD.
They're on YouTube, I believe. I believe they're on YouTube now as well.
But I get stick for diving to win a free kick that ultimately we scored from. But and John had one of the most infamous goalkeeping performances.
It was horrendous. Absolutely. I don't know how anything. However, I did set up the winning goal, so you know anyway. Larbert High won the game. That's all we need to go on that. And Falkirk High got
beat. Watching for tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Boys, listen, thank you so much for coming on. And remember, if you want to be a guest pundit on the show, you can do that. Drop us an email at pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or you can slide into our DMs on Twitter or Facebook.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. We normally have a preview of the Hamilton game, but we're off for 2 weeks now, so we're hoping to get something up the week before the Hamilton game, just a wee bit preview to talk through the Hamilton game, and maybe some special guests. We shall wait to find out on that, but watch out on the socials for all the news on that. Thank you very much for listening or watching us. If you're on YouTube, you can get us, obviously. I always say at the end of the episodes, like, get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But if you're listening to it, you're already on that. So just spread the word. If you know a Falkirk supporter that doesn't listen to the podcast or watch the podcast, let them know there is a Falkirk-based football show now. We've been going now for a couple of seasons, and if they don't listen to it and they're going, oh, I wish I could hear more about Falkirk because nobody does that, well, we do it every Monday. So tell that person that doesn't listen to the podcast to listen in every week. I'm still feeling a bit hungover after that pub crawl. I mean the t-shirt's fantastic though. I've got the t-shirt. Did you get your t-shirt?
Well, no, because the girl said she didn't have any, so I've got my completed card, so we'll need to take that into one of the venues next time we're up the town. So okay.
I know, and by the way, if you get the chance to do it, it was a cracking laugh. I'd never been in the courtyard ever in my life. I never drank in the courtyard.
That's a good pub.
Decent pub, and it was just good going in. Like Icons, that's the first time I've been in since it was turned to Icons. A great wee pub, by the way. What a nice Falkirk memorabilia in the corner as well, which you notice, which is great to see. And you know what you're getting with the Welly and the Scotia and behind the wall. Tollbooth was always just unfortunate that we should have went to Tollbooth for the karaoke. We should have finished up the Tollbooth.
We were in there quite early. It was like 4:30 or something.
It was quiet, but listen, I always go on about the Tollbooth karaoke. Best karaoke in Falkirk. Love it. And the host, I think it's Sarah. She's magnificent as well. Anyway, so get a chance, go and do the pub crawl. It was a good laugh. But I think we'll make it an annual thing, Ross. I think we should make it an annual thing.
That would be good. Yeah,
let's make it an annual thing. We'll do it next season as well. So get involved next time. Thanks to everyone that joined us on it. Buy merch. You can get your Falkirk Pub Trail t-shirts, but you can get a Falkirk Daft t-shirt if you want. You can do that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. We've got lots of Falkirk Daft t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, whatever. You can get all that up there, and you can get in touch with us if you want to, like, advertise. We're saying you can advertise, even though we've got the brilliant Haldane Construction as our main sponsor. If you want to get advertising on this show, if you have a local business, you want us to mention you, we can do that. We are very cheap, as a lot of people keep telling us. John at falkirkdaft.co.uk or Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. A week off next week, Ross. What are you going to do with your Saturday?
Half term next weekend, mate, so the family time. And I know you've got something similar as well. So, yes. But yeah, with a wee break, and then we'll all be up for it. For a stadium will be bouncing. There'll be such a big crowd in.
You think we'll get Jing? We'll do the five. I think we'll do the five.
I genuinely think we will. And you've just reminded me, because remember last time we did, we said we were going to try and push for five. We'll maybe start our wee social media campaign in the next couple of days as well. See if we can help get a crowd in.
Absolutely, it's going to be a huge game. Biggest of the, you know, every game's been big. This is going to be huge. Is, I mean, it's too early to say. You know, if we were to get a win against Hamilton, you know, it would be huge. Absolutely. You know, if we go 8 points clear with, then it'll be 13 games to go, is it? 13 games to go. It will be, yeah, 14 games to go now.
Yeah,
so
they've obviously still got this Annan game next weekend. The optimist in me says it would be amazing and took something off them, but in all likelihood, they're probably going to. So they'll come to the stadium probably with 5 points gap. As you said, if we could then take that to eight, we then
with a game in hand.
Game in hand on the Tuesday against Montrose. Now, Montrose is never an easy game. We know this. It's never an easy game. But at home, we'll fancy ourselves to do what we can do. But one game at a time.
Yeah.
Let's take care of Aggies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right, listen, we'll hopefully be back with a preview show next week. But until next time,
expect the unexpected, buddy. Moan the Bairns.
There we go, mate. Great.